Service District since March 28th, 2012. If I could get a roll call.
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Hurdle?
Here.
Director Searcy?
Here.
Stand for the salute of the flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number four, the agenda review. Are there any requests to change the agenda? I do have one, actually. My request is that we take item 12A, which is the discussion review of the victory outreach letter, and we move it to items right in front of item 6A, which is the presentation from myself on behalf of 4th District Supervisor Teixeira to victory outreach, Five Cities Pastor Jimmy Gutierrez. Would there be any other changes? Okay.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
I missed somebody.
You missed me, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. President Guerrero?
Yes. All right. The agenda is approved as amended. Item number five, public comments. Manager Gieslin, do we have any public comments?
Yes, we have three. Jeff Edwards.
Okay. Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. At your regular meeting of March 14th, you took action on the general manager's employment contract. And I believe you're in receipt of a cure and correct letter dated March 21st, which asserts that the action you took on that employment contract...
Mr. Edwards, this is on for item number 13.
No, that's the amendment, Mr. President. I'm speaking to the contract.
One second. Okay.
In any event, your board, again, is in receipt of the cure and correct letter, which raises questions about the validity of the action that you took on the 14th. And in substance, the contract that was given to the public the night of the meeting was in receipt of the board members. So the board members, a majority of the board, had it in advance of the public, well in advance. And on that basis, the contract's not valid. In looking at some of the particulars of the contract, I'd like to raise a number of questions. First of all, in Section 3, the outside professional activities, this seems to give your GM carte blanche in terms of what he does with his time. Now, as an interim GM, I can understand this kind of a thing because he's either phasing out some activities, or if he's only going to be an interim GM, he may be returning to his private sector life, and so then that makes some sense. But in the context of a permanent GM position, this outside professional activities is misplaced. You don't find that in any other GM contract in the area. Secondly, and this is something that I only realized today, and that is the term of the contract. While it was originally for 5 years, now it seems to be renewable automatically for 3 years automatically. So this is a perpetual contract. There is no term in effect. This is, let alone the 12 months that he's given in the first 6 months of his agreement. And I recall there was a discussion about a 2-year severance pay, which is very unworkable. And then I'll just close by saying, and this was also raised in the cure and correct letter, but Mr. Gieslin has not been officially sworn in as your general manager. And his membership in the Republican Central Committee hardly suffices for that. Thank you so much.
Next comment, Mr. Gieslin.
Julie Tacker.
Good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I do live in Los Osos. In recent weeks, I've come to Oceano, and I've been called communist, outsider, outside agitation, And I like to think that I'm the only one who can call Jeff Edwards asshole. But others in Oceano choose to do that. Why I continue to come is because it's apparent that there's something wrong here. You have directors who don't know the difference between Henry Robert and Ralph Brown, and the difference between rules of order and the Ralph M. Brown Act. Your agendas are ambiguous. Your staff reports are non-existent in some cases. There's confusion. They're misleading, inconsistent. There's lack of follow-up and follow-through. The Friday reports were coming bi-monthly for a while there. Now they seem to come weekly, but they came out on Tuesday this week. The contract at your last meeting for the general manager was not available to the public prior to the meeting. There was no recommended action on the agenda, and I chose not to participate that evening, thinking that they couldn't possibly take action, and you did. Tonight, again, the agenda is ambiguous, and there's something called an amendment to the contract. Without access to that amendment, I had to come. I had to come. I asked for it in an email. Attention and diversity is valuable. But when you walk lockstep and you step on your community, that's problematic. There are things being hidden, and the transparency must come through the district. And I think that's why we let Mr. Montemuro go. So I wanted...
Don't assume why Mr. Montemuro was let go.
Thank you. Your 3 minutes are up.
Thank you.
Next comment.
Rod Everling.
Matt, could you please have him speak into the speaker at the podium direct, please?
Yes. Can you? She's having trouble hearing. Can you speak into the mic,
sure.
Mr. Everling?
Rod Everling, Napomo, and I have property in...
This red circle right here,
yeah.
If you come in from the side of it, it fuzzies. If you come in from this side, we had to talk directly into the center, and that's what I keep trying to
That's the first time I've ever heard you say that.
I know.
They're very directional. Speak right into it. As far as the outside professional activities for Mr. Gieselin, at last I understood your free time is your own time to do whatever you please. If he wants to do something or have a second job or do anything he wants, he can, as long as it's clearly states in your contract that he performs all his duties here and there's no conflict. So I don't care. I don't care if he wants to run a circus or if he wants to run a business. His own time is his own time. And apparently Mr. Edwards wants to control that too. His severance being too high, I was at that meeting, and the whole idea, we were talking about you firing somebody basically for no reason, for no legitimate legal reason. He has done nothing wrong. It's maybe somebody comes in on a whim and I don't like this guy, let's get my buddy in here. It is a deterrent, it should be a deterrent, and I think it should have been a higher deterrent. Because again, you're calling for firing somebody for doing nothing wrong. So I disagree with Mr. Edwards again on that matter, which is pretty standard anyways. Let's just talk to Julie. As far as what she wants to call Mr. Edwards and what he wants to call her, I agree with the name. I think it's wonderful. They can call each other that name all they want, as far as I'm concerned. I never heard anyone here say anything like that, and I've been at the meetings. And as far as you guys walking lockstep, I agree with her. Dissension is good if it's good dissension. If there's some problems, if you're doing the right thing, walking in lockstep is a good thing. And the only ones I've heard here complain about you and the board like what you're doing. They like Mr. Gieselin, the job he's doing, and I say keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Karen White.
Karen.
Karen White, 1566 Hiawatha Lane, Halcyon.
Hi, Karen.
Good evening. Good. I'm a taxpayer in this district, and I wish you would spend a couple of dollars of my money investigating how and why Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker, have any kind of legal standing to bring suit against this district. They do not live in the district. They do not appear to be taxpayers in the district. And I'm really tired about how much money they are spending in this district, causing what I consider to be major challenges that cost a lot of money. Maybe you could talk to our attorney, because I don't think in a court of law, unless there's something we don't know about them or I don't know about them, they could have any legal standing to bring suit other than just being a general taxpayer. They don't support this district. I do. That's why I'd like my money spent. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
That concludes public comment.
Move on to item six, which was previously item 12A, discussion and review, Victory Outreach request a letter of proclamation for recognition for the first year of service and appoint directors to present letter of proclamation during the March 29th, 2012 banquet, staff recommendation, board to approve letter of proclamation and appoint a board member to present letter at the March 29th banquet. Tom, do you want me to handle this?
Yeah, please.
Okay. As some of you may know, Victory Outreach is a Christian-based ministry organization that reaches out to our community and helps with drug, alcohol addiction, gang problems, things that are the ills of society, and they affect all of our societies. It's not just Oceano. It's Grover Beach, it's Arroyo Grande, it's San Luis Obispo, Santa Maria, it's everywhere around here, and they make a very positive on-the-street presence. And I, as my day job, I'm a public defender, we deal with you guys, and it's been very positive, and so I appreciate your help with
it. Just a thank you. Thank you for what you do for the community. It's wonderful.
Director Angelo?
No, not at this time.
And Vice President Lucy.
No, I think it's great that we're acknowledging your work. I just want to make it very, very clear. It is an acknowledgement.
Yes.
It's not, you know,
yeah,
to be perceived as anything else.
Right, we're acknowledging the help that they give. Carol Ann, would you read that into the record for us? And then I think we'll take a vote on whether to issue the proclamation. And
okay. Whereas drugs, alcohol, and gangs afflict every level of society and every member of our community. Whereas too few resources are available to combat these afflictions. Whereas too few people or organizations are available to combat these afflictions. Whereas Victory Outreach Church of the Five Cities has identified these afflictions and taken upon itself to combat them. On behalf of Oceano Community Services District and the people of Oceano, we hereby proclaim that Victory Outreach, Church of the Five Cities, effectively dedicates its organization, its people, and its purpose to the treatment of drugs and alcohol addictions and prevention of gang activity, which is a benefit to our community and the people in it. We acclaim the purpose and effects of Victory Outreach Church with helping members of our community restore their health, their sobriety, their families, and their dignity.
Hear, hear.
Do I have a motion to approve that?
Second.
Okay. President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
And there is we will sign that, and there is a banquet. It's a banquet, right, tomorrow night?
Yes,
and so we'll have, I was going to nominate Carol Ann to represent our district. Does anybody have any?
No.
If Carol Ann would represent our district and take that to the meeting tomorrow, I appreciate it. Thank you,
Pastor.
We'll
be expecting leftovers.
I'll be right over.
I'll move on to item 6A.
Where would that be held at?
I can't recall.
It's at the Hilton Garden Inn on 4th Street in Pismo.
Moving on to what was marked as item A, presentation from President Guerrero on behalf of 4th District Supervisor Teixeira to Victory Outreach Five Cities Pastor Jimmy Gutierrez. I have a County of San Luis Obispo certificate of appreciation.
Do you have one?
Okay, shake hands.
Shake hands. You gotta move a little closer.
There you go. You gotta act like you like each other. Okay. Yeah.
Moving on to item 7, review and approval of minutes from March 14th, 2012. Is there any...
Can I ask that sure. I'd actually like to double-check these and cross-reference some of the dates and look at a calendar. So would it be problematic?
You want to table or put this to the end of the calendar?
Can we put it to the end of the agenda or something? Because I really do need to pull out a calendar and look at some of these dates and do a date count.
Okay. Why don't we put it to the end of the agenda tonight and...
That would really be great.
Okay. And after,
I just
then during
to do
break,
a
you
date
can look
count.
At it. Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Any objection to that? Hearing none. I'll move on to items 8. Is there any reason why we can't take 8A through F together?
No, they're all the same development. And what brought this back was there was some questions about traffic and some questions about a street light, and those are being coordinated with Public Works. And then because of the new fire sprinkler law, the houses have to be fitted with a 1-inch versus a 5/8, and we reviewed that with Mr. O'Connor, and he's fine with it. And we gave him the new fee letter, and so I'm recommending you approve these here tonight.
I'm actually going to speak about approving these against approving any of these will serve letters. Casey O'Connor has come to this board numerous times, swore in public that he would put the street light in on one street, but when I drove through that project, which I could speak about the quality of the work later, but when I drove through that project this weekend, there was not one street light, and it was dark, dark, dark. So not only did the Bates light not go in, but none of the lighting went in through that whole entire tract. That was the condition of the last batch of will serve letters, is that that man do public safety and put those lights in. And he ignored it. You know, he basically thumbed his nose at the air, so sleazy mess. Because the developer was not responsible. This is not responsible development in my eyes. So
okay, well, let me give you
some
history. When this came through originally, there were sets of plans that were signed off by our previous field person and our previous engineer, and it was Gehring and Taylor. And there was no call out for the lights.
That's not true.
Let me finish. So then when it got to the county didn't acknowledge the lights because they weren't on the plans. So now we have to go through Public Works and get them to put those on the plans and go forward. But there's no reason to stop the will serve because we will get the lights put in. He's agreed to do whatever
it
takes.
He agreed it 3 years ago. He agreed to be responsible developer in our area 7 years ago. To date, he has not showed any level of responsibility. I will never, ever support what he says he will do again. Until he does it, then I will sign off on his stuff. But at this level, I have no confidence in this developer. And I'm sorry to be so strong about it, but how long do you have to fight for a darn street light? You know, and so until he gets in there, and at least puts in so it's not a deep, dark hole through there. You know what? Do not look for my support on any of his stuff, except for a street light that's properly wired. That's my humble opinion.
Mr. President, I'm also going to decline on approving these tonight because at the last board meeting, I believe that the board gave direction for the Water and Sewer Committee to review, and as yet, the Water and Sewer Committee has not been able to review. And so until I can gather all that information and put it together and get a forward plan, I'm in a disagreement of signing off on these will serve letters.
I almost feel hoodwinked. I'm sorry to be so harsh and direct, but we have a long history with this developer.
Okay. I guess that puts down the lockstep stuff.
Director Hurdle, do you have any comments?
No, I don't.
Director Angelo, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Mayor Smith and Steve.
Okay.
And in fact, Director Mann is here, who was here for all of those projects. Literally, projects.
And is there any public comment on this, Tom?
There's no public comment.
Okay. My concern is, my concern is if there were things that were supposed to be done that they should be taken care of, and I think the way to address it and to review it would be to have Carol Ann, or staff, I should say, to have staff go in and review the minutes and see if there's some record of them agreeing to do something and being required to do something that hasn't been completed, because this is our leverage.
Right. And this isn't the first time he's come to the mic. You know, when I first got elected 4 years ago, I questioned him on that street light. Director Mann went over there. Everybody held church there, you know, checking out the light. Sat there right at that podium and said, not an issue. I'll put it in.
Did we ask him to put up a bond for the lighting and have it completed within, say, a year, and hold the funds aside just for that?
That's a great idea.
Are you asking staff to write a letter then, Director Angelo, that he put up a bond to do the light?
I'm just suggesting it might be a way of getting him to move something anyway.
Or put in the lights, one or the other.
Once again, Mr. President, I thought it was the direction of the board to have this brought to the Water and Sewer Committee, and we were going to look at that particular project, and that would have been one of the responsibilities of the committee to put all that information together and get those facts so that we could make a very good...
Well, let's schedule it now, then, before the next...
Well, yeah, event. Pull okay. out your calendar and schedule it.
Let's schedule it right now, then. Do you have a suggested date, Mr. Searcy?
I thought staff was going to coordinate that, but I'm pretty good all except for April 11th.
Well, our next meeting is April 11th.
Yeah.
There's a sanitation district meeting on the 4th. Could do it before then. Sanitation district meeting is at 6 o'clock. Mm. Why not at 5 o'clock on the 4th?
No, the 4th wouldn't work for me. More like the 6th.
Require reviewing the minutes. Do you know approximately, Director or Vice President Lucy, when the when this came through last?
Well, I know when it came through first. When I encountered it was February 2009 meeting, and it was the first meeting.
All right.
And so the last meeting, it was. Actually, when did Casey come? I mean, when did he come for the first time he submitted the will serves? Well, there's definitely residents from the last meeting, as we can well see in the minutes. I don't remember. Maybe the last time he wanted his fees. You know, recognized for paying them 15 years in advance.
Well, a couple of meetings prior to the submission of the will serve letters would probably be a good place to start.
Yeah.
You know, before.
Are you able to pull and see when they were? Okay, and then we can just work backwards from that date. Okay.
But I think what has to happen is we have to go back to the first original set of will serve letters that were provided by the district for that particular first phase of development of the old Avocado Ranch. And that in those plans, it does state, you know, responsibility for lighting and committed to it.
Okay.
So it would be in those letters, and those letters would be 04.
Okay.
But trust me, Mr. O'Connor is excellent at keeping records. Brilliant.
Okay,
he's brought us in many records.
I want to bring it back then on, instead of April 11th, April 25th, because if we have the meeting at 1 o'clock on the 6th of April, I won't have enough time to get with the Public Works and the county to verify all the plans and everything, so we'll have to come back to 25th.
That makes
sense.
That'd
be fine. The 25th, okay. Prohibit to agenda it on the 25th would be fine. And to Tom, if possible, maybe a set of those plans of the original.
Is there any other discussion on this item 8?
Yeah. What I would...
Move on to item number 9, if there's no further discussion. Board member comments? Why don't we start, Director Angelo? Do you have any comments this evening, Lori?
No, not yet.
Director Hurdle?
None. Thank you.
Vice President Lucy?
You know, one of the people who did public comment had mentioned the amount of resources that it takes to the people of Oceano to research and defend every accusation and every step that this board makes. And I just want to say, and I'm not going to speak to, you know, that what we have to defend ourselves on or anything like that, but Mrs. Karen White had mentioned, you know, how much money has been spent on, you know, constant communication with people from the particular individuals from the public. And Ms. White, I think you owe an explanation, is that, yeah, it costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to the people of Oceano. And it costs thousands of dollars in legal time. It costs thousands of dollars in staff time. It wrecks staff morale. It beats boards down. So, yes, it is more costly than I could put a dollar amount on, because it's more than just a dollar. And I felt that you owed an explanation for that.
Director Searcy?
I am nothing at this time. Thank you.
I'm going to reserve my comments for the other items that there I'll relate to. Number 10, report of OCSD operations. Tom? This is 10A, excuse me.
We have a whole bunch of things to talk about. Let's see. Number one, I took an oath on Monday, which is the exact same oath that I took when I was sworn in as the Republican Central Committee representative for District 4. And so I'm confused, because nobody could explain how that oath was any different. But it is a civil defense oath, and it's the same civil defense oath that I took in January of 2011. I have been working diligently. So the county's claiming, because they're in budget review and all this other stuff, that they're going through the same throes we're going through, but they committed to having it to us by Friday, at which time then Moss Levy will get it. It takes them a week to make their report and write the adjustments, then our guys will make the prior year corrections, and then Caliber will be able to close 9-10 as well as 8-9. We've also been up to our ears in a water audit, and what triggered this is when we did the billing, some questions came up when the data got transferred from the AS400 and whether the data in the AS400 was accurate. So our guys have 47 pages of going and pulling every single meter and comparing to make sure that it's the right meter, it's the right width of pipe, it's the right sanitation district connection. And so we've done all that that the sanitation district questioned, and we responded to their report today. Aaron Hughes did the bulk of the work and wrote a very nice report, and we sent it out, and the sanitation district is going through and correcting it. The rest of the week we spent working on the insurance reviews, which I will present to you tonight. We also spent the time on the fourth quarter work plans, and we spent a lot of time on the normal billing operations because we just closed the billing cycle, and that got off to the mail center right now. The other thing that we did is somebody made a comment at a previous meeting that we don't do anything about planning, but we've been working with county planning, and in our billing cycle and out in the office, there's this survey where the people get to submit as to what their future view of Oceano is, and there's a questionnaire, and they rate it, and then we also had them do it in Spanish because of our Spanish population. Mm-hmm. So we're working in conjunction with the county on that, and that's going out in our bills, and then we're also engaging the people as they come in to pay bills, because we have a lot of people that come in and pay cash, and so this allows us to say, hey, you know, what do you see for Oceano? Take 5 minutes and fill this out. So we're trying to give that, saying that stuff doesn't come in, you know, like they just got it today. Well, guess what? I just got it this morning. Because by the time the committees look at it, it comes back to me, and we go through all these iterations, it's not in a presentable form to go to the public until then. So you got to understand that whenever these things happen, it does take a lot of time, and they tend to come when we're extremely busy, like trying to get a billing cycle going and that type of thing. The other thing is we've, as we keep peeling back the onion that is the OCSD, we keep finding little things that aren't right, and we try and fix them. And one of the things that we spent a lot of time the past 2 weeks is with our handhelds, which we use to read meters, and we've had people come in and say, where's this, you know, how do you do this and stuff. We found a couple software glitches that didn't affect anybody's bill, but it affected our operation because we originally get incorrect data reported. Then we have to go out and manually check, and so staff spent a significant amount of time working with the software company, working with Radix, trying to iron those out, and I think we checked with the software guy, and he made the statement that he didn't think we'd updated our software ever. So, and they're like anything else, there's specific updates that we have to make. And staff really gets a lot of credit for that because they're working together as a team. There's no contention. You know, hey, we've got this problem. Let's go out. Let's find it. Let's fix it. And it also points back to one of our work plans, which is to get better UB software and accounting software, and this elevated that even more. So we've been making Tyler work, but it's time to stop making Tyler work and get something that's going to work for us. So that's...
And as to that, Tom, you said it's time to get something that works for us. When is our lease expire on Tyler?
I don't have that. I gave that stuff to district council, and they're reviewing the contract because we're probably going to take that to task fairly quickly.
Okay.
But I do know for what we're spending and what we're getting, it leaves a lot to be desired. So, and the other thing is somebody made a comment about our disbursements that they were too tough to read, so we went in and we looked at a way of coming up, and I give Marie credit for this. She found a better way to report to try and give more of the sunshine into the situation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. Jeff Edwards. What's nice to see the GM has been sworn in, so it's official. Simple reporting to that would have been helpful. A quick comment as to the survey that's going out. If you didn't know, Barbara Mann made it clear at the joint CSD Advisory Council meeting that the community of Oceano really is a larger community, encompasses the Napomo Mesa. So I just wanted to let you know that you're looking at a bigger group now. In any event, primarily what I wanted to inquire about was something I didn't hear reported by your GM, Mr. Gieslin, and that is an update on the alleged computer hacking. If you recall, Mr. Gieslin reported to you on January 25th that a number of computers had been hacked. And so I'm wondering what the status of that might be. I understand that you no longer have an IT gentleman, that he is, since that incident, has resigned or fired or what, and that there's a cloak of secrecy behind that. There's some expenditures apparently in connection with this alleged hacking. I'm not familiar with the firm, but perhaps you can help out. RNOC was on the warrants for $314 for $1,000. I'm curious how much money, speaking of money spent, how much money has been spent on this hacking? How much staff time? How many outside consultants? Did Tyler bill you for any of conferring on those issues? I also understand there's a police report that's on file and a pending investigation, though this is a victimless crime, apparently. So there's a lot of questions surrounding this hacking, and again, I'd like to know what the total cost of the district, since there is a sensitivity relative to cost, and I understand that. And then lastly, if it turns out that this hacking was maybe self-induced, and a police report was filed in connection with this?
Sir, you crossed the line now. You've gone beyond public comment.
In any event,
filing a false police report
is a criminal.
You know, so either speak to the issue.
Okay.
Mr. President, are you going to control this meeting, or is Ms. Lucy going to?
Let me just say something. You could stop the time. There is a litigation privilege here, and let it be clear that we're asserting it.
Wonderful. And
Barbara Mann, Oceano. I'm the chair of the Oceano Advisory Committee. And once again, Mr. Edwards has misstated something. At the meeting, I said that Oceano includes Halcyon, not up on the mesa. So once again, he's twisted facts. And quite frankly, I'm really tired of it, and I don't know why this board has to dance to his tune. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Rod Everly.
Hi, Rod Everly, Napomo, have property in Oceano. On this oath business, I don't quite understand. If the oath is the same as what he took a year and a half ago, is this something we're going to do every day? Do we need to swear him in every day and have him sign a new thing and we'll just have a log? And the other question I have, or the second one, is I'm not quite sure what's going on here. If you guys are not calling Mr. Edwards on everything you decide at that moment, you're apparently screwing up badly. I think you must maybe have a walkie-talkie or actually a microphone on you so that he can listen in to you at all times. It might suffice. It might make him feel better. I don't know, but apparently he wants to know everything you say and do unless you're in the restroom. So whatever you can do. And as far as he's extremely concerned about your money and how you're spending your money and the cost of the hacking and all this other stuff. If he's really concerned about your money and how much you're spending, then I think he could save you guys a lot of money by staying home every other Wednesday and not suing you. So for a guy that's concerned about money, he seems to have his head in the wrong place.
Thank you, Mr. Eberle. Is there any other public comment?
None at this time.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes, go ahead.
I would just like to just say a few things to the public. You know, in public comment, the board is willing to listen to all questions and answers. And a lot of times, I think the public can see by viewing, you know, I guess it's on TV, as it. A lot of times people will bring frivolous accusations towards the board. And I just want to ensure the public that this board is a little bit smarter than that. We're able to discern what is truth and what is fact. And we
assessment. And I wasn't aware until I attended that meeting that Grover City has they're supporting that initiative or that request. And so it's Arroyo Grande and our board that hasn't stepped forward. And so the next meeting, which will be our meeting On the 11th, Chief Aranez will be here, and he will give us a very detailed discussion and presentation on why this is important for us and why we need to make a decision as to whether we're going to support it so we can go to the next phase of it, which would be getting an engineer to make a survey of the properties that would be involved. I also attended the Oceano Oceano Advisory Committee meeting, and we did have a presentation regarding the complete community surveys, and I'd like to just read what this survey will involve. So, and I think it's very, very exciting for the community to have this input. But the complete community survey is a study of how to carry out the county's policies to encourage more community-focused growth and plan for needed infrastructure. This survey will inventory the extent of infrastructure and public facilities that are needed today and in the future. The survey will also identify where public facilities should be built for greatest efficiency, their cost, and potential financing strategies. The survey will help the county and special districts plan for public investment in facilities and develop their capital improvement plans and budgets. Surveys are underway in Napomo, Oceano, San Miguel, and Templeton. This is very good for us. The responses are going to be discussed at a workshop held in June of 2012, and I'd like to encourage all of our residents to take part in this survey as well as the workshop in June, because this is a very valuable opportunity for the district. And also at the Oceano Advisory Committee meeting, there was a presentation by Public Works regarding a future next year.
Speaking to the mic.
I know how to speak into the donut. You know, I got a new pet this weekend.
Does he crow?
Yes, he does. He's a rooster. He won the fight, so he's hung out my yard now. I've named him, but I won't tell you what I named him. Okay, I attended the Zone 11A meeting.
I specifically didn't ask.
Yeah. So I attended the Zone 11A meeting, and Nola, who's been running the meeting for a long time, came in extremely prepared for many questions, and actually it was relatively pretty explanatory what the county obstacles are on getting all the proper permits to keep the Arroyo Grande Creek flowing and open and all that, and it is a headache for them, you know. These permits, some of them have to go in 18 months in advance. Some of them have to go in an anticipation of an emergency. And, you know, and some have to go in after the emergency happens to intervene. And so I kind of feel it's like that's a really good example of how bad government works. So once again, you know, I think the woman really is in pain when she has to inform us for the fourth year in a row that they're still putting permits in, you know, and of course it's embarrassing to all. So, but the more citizens who walk the Arroyo Grande Creek and see debris and branches and things that are snagging up things, pick it up. Let the Coastal Commission come after you or something, you know, but pick it up, you know, get it up out of the way of the water, because we don't want it to continue to flow down. And although, you know, certain government entities can't go in and do anything about it, us as individuals, that's our choices. So it was pretty much, you know, an update, you know, the half-inch increase, how they're going to direct the water from the creek to, so hopefully it won't go towards the island again. And they just didn't have a lot of rain to test their theories, fortunately. So it's kind of at a status quo. Me as a board member and who sits on there, they definitely are looking for new members, and I think it's a great committee, a lot of dedicated people there. It's just that organizationally, it's not nothing on paper. So I think that it's a great committee and try to get on it.
Thank you. Director Searcy.
I have no committees to report on.
Okay. I attended the Sanitation District last week, which would have been the 21st. And there were a number of items that were on. The first one is the Pavo gave an update. It was the same update, I believe, that NOLA had given in Zone 11A, talking about the flooding. The second item was they were talking about the recycled water and starting a symposium probably sometime in May or June, I think, is the target date on the recycled water study to see if the farmers will get on board, to see if the community is behind recycled water. The third that was of interest was there was a letter that was presented regarding the grand jury peer review that was submitted to the grand jury, and I believe that's a matter of public record at this time as well. The FOG, that's the Fats, Oil, and Grease Program, which the Sanitation District, for those of you who don't know, is charged with going to the different restaurants, making sure that their disposal for the fats, oils, and grease are in compliance. If there's not, the Sanitation District now has the ability to issue and levy fines for that, for the repeat offenders, those who fail and continue to fail, because up till this point, certain restaurants have just thumbed their nose at the Sanitation District and just not been in compliance. There was a discussion on the Diversity Coalition, which is here, and then also on item 12D, which is the District Overflow Backup Prevention and Response Training. The Sanitation District did commit to going to that training, has asked, as you'll see in 12D, that each Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano contribute one quarter each of the costs. They're going anyway, but it seems like an appropriate use of our expenses, and we'll get there when we get to 12D. And that was the only committee that I attended in the last 2 weeks. I'll move on to item 11.
No, we have public comment now.
I keep forgetting. I apologize.
Jeff Edwards.
Because you're not transparent enough, Matt.
I must not be. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening again, board members. I wanted to just make some brief remarks on a couple of the meetings. As you know, with regard to the Sanitation District, the state is about ready to conclude their investigation regarding the notice of violation. And I've predicted, and it's appearing that, and you know, with all the discussion about money this evening, I would submit to you that the district can ill afford a $1.5 million hit on something like that. So I encourage you to pursue that. Secondly, I did attend the what was intended to be a joint Oceano Community Services District meeting with the Oceano Advisory Council. Unfortunately, only Director Hurdle was able to make that. This is intended to be a long-term blueprint for Oceano, this the community survey and the larger study that the county is conducting. I think it raises questions about the whole economy and the local economy and jobs, and I think it would behoove the district to get involved with that. And at the center of this whole thing, if you read their survey, they talk about infrastructure, which this district has a water availability. There's discussion about pedestrian and bike paths, a civic center or plaza, and I think this is a perfect opportunity to really look at the airport and how it fits into the larger community. Imagine, if you will, bike paths and pedestrian paths meandering through the airport to the beach. If that isn't a compliment to the community, I'm not sure what is. In addition to the economic stimulus, it could be derived from mixed housing and commercial and recreational development. So that's an important process that hopefully everyone gets involved in, both inside the community and outside. And then I'll just conclude by talking about Zone 11A and the discussion about flooding and drainage corrective measures. Just yesterday, the Board of Supervisors hired another consultant to conduct biological investigations of the lagoon. This is the sixth consultant they've hired. They have truly a stable of folks now working on this. Unfortunately, all the money is going to paperwork and studies, and there's very little on-the-ground improvements. As you may know, the December 2010 flood was really a source was Meadow Creek Lagoon System and not Arroyo Grande Creek.
Mr. Edwards, your time's up.
Thank you.
What's the definition of a stable?
Quick comment. I believe the reserves, when I checked the budget last time for the sanitation district, were around $3 million. But that's just what I recall from reviewing the budget, and that was a number of months ago. Is there any other public comment, Mr. Manager?
No, not this time.
Then before 43 p.m., Wednesday the 28th, next item on the agenda is item 11, cash disbursements. Recommended action, board approval of cash disbursements submitted by Ms. McGrath.
We have a public comment.
Okay.
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards. I'm a little confused about, with all the audits and so forth going on, I'm a little confused about who's doing what, but I see a firm that's been retained, Presley and Associates, and they have a warrant on your register this evening. And they've been paid, since Mr. Giesling came on and retained them, they've been paid about $30,000. And it looks like they're an accounting firm. It's a little unclear exactly what they're doing. And so I guess I'm wondering, you have an accounting manager and you have a couple of accounting clerks. And if you have if you've outsourced the accounting, then maybe somebody's not necessary in this equation. So I had a question about Presley. And then also, as your board knows, your participation in the Northern Cities Management Area is pretty expensive. You're paying consultants, both WEI and WSC, substantial sums of money. We've talked about, at the last meeting, I mentioned the monitoring. You're going to outfit in the Cienega with some monitoring equipment. That's $7,150. I haven't seen that reappear or appear on any of your warrants, but that is a concern. But the larger concern is your district's participation in the Northern Cities Management Area. If you recall, this is the same group that wrote a letter basically repudiating the seawater intrusion. By the way, if you didn't catch any of the Board of Supervisors meeting,
sir, yes. we're on the cash disbursements.
Yep, correct, right, and the Presley is on there, and also some Northern Cities Management Area expenses, I believe. So, anyways, I would review your participation in the Northern Cities Management Area group. I don't think it's helping this district. I think your interests and the Northern Cities Management Area participants are divergent. So I'd encourage you to take a hard look at that. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Julie Tacker, please.
Ms. Tacker?
To know what that charge is for.
Would you care for me to answer that?
Sure.
The professional services, since we've had all the song and dance with the contract, I am not on payroll as of yet. And so that catches us up through the end of the month. And the mileage reimbursement is for all the meetings and stuff that I've attended throughout the quarter from January 1 until March, till this week.
Is there any other public comment, Tom?
Rod, he passes.
Thanks, Rod.
Can I also put out on, I'd like to answer the questions that Mr. Edwards brought up, just so everybody knows. We were behind 3.5 years of accounting and did not have a system, and I brought to you this board, Presley and Associates, to come in and get caught up on all the accounting, to coordinate some of the testing prior to that we gave it to the auditors. You guys have dropped in when they've all been set up here at this desk going through books and books and books. So that's what that money's being spent, and I don't believe the number is correct. It's not $30,000, it's closer to 20, and you're basically getting all that stuff caught up, and it has a cost. And quite candidly, nobody else has the time to do it because we are running an operation of six. The other thing is, is that on the GEI and WFC, what everybody needs to remember is that we were part of the Santa Maria groundwater lawsuit, and we did a gentleman's agreement with those cities, and so we have to share the costs. And these are the costs of us that we pay to help manage our water and provide things. Now, we don't agree with everything that they say, but we have a gentleman's agreement that once a consensus is reached that we go forward with that. And so the assertion that it's not the best deal, maybe some of the people would like to help pony up some money and we can take it to the court and say we don't want to be part of the Santa Maria groundwater basin adjudication and go from there, which I don't think we want to. So, but that's where that money is going for. So I'll pass forward the checks for you guys to review and sign. Do you have any questions?
No.
Yeah, we have not yet.
I move that we accept the warrants.
A second.
Can I get a roll call vote, Carol Ann?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Warrants are approved as presented. Moving on to items 12B, discuss and review 2012 fireworks program permitting process and fees. Can I get a staff report, please?
We have an agreement to allow fireworks sales inside Oceano, and there is a lottery system that allows different groups to come and petition. They petition. We process the petition in conjunction with the JPA, and then we make the announcement of who's accepted, and then we go forward. And so this year, Anchor of Faith Apostolic Church, Boys and Girls Club of South San Luis Obispo County, Church of God Prophecy, and Five Cities ARE, which is otherwise known as Five City Eagles, have completed the application and been reviewed. And they we're basically just asking you to approve this group so that they can make preparations to go sail for their fundraisers.
Is there any public comment?
Yeah, Mr. Greg, no.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Greg Noh from Church of God of Prophecy, and I'd like to say thank you to this fine board of directors. Over the past several years, it has helped us a lot in what we've tried to do for this community. Mm-hmm. We've been able to operate a 12-step program every Friday night. We have 12-step meetings. We've also been able to, with these funds there, go ahead and initiate a couple of sober living homes. Started off with one a couple of years ago. It got rolling well, and we said, why not do a second one? Open the second one. Things are going well. Both homes are totally filled with men who are currently making efforts to get their lives together. And so what you're doing with allowing these fundraisers is, has some momentum to it. And it.
Remember when back in the day when Oceano initiated this, it was the only community in the five cities that did approve it. And while everybody was naysayers, and today it proves warranted because all of the community, the surrounding communities, are on board and supporting our local churches and nonprofit groups to be able to have an avenue to create funds and put it back into the community.
I don't have any comment. Does anybody else have a comment? Is there a motion?
Also move.
A second.
Carol Ann, can we get a roll call vote?
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Passes 5-0. I wish you guys luck. Thank you. Moving on to items 12C, discussion review, employee health insurance renewal plan presented by staff. Manager Gieselin.
Okay. In your packets, you were given all the work that Marie and myself did in conjunction with setting up the employee health stuff that, thanks for coming, guys, that set up our health insurance due to expire on 4-1, and a lot of the policies that the employees have now are going to change significantly. So we had to do a very serious look, and I will tell you that in the past, a lot of the policies that were taken, especially in the last 2 years, were not the policies that were in the best interest of the employees, but they fitted more toward management. And so by me not taking benefits, I can give a clear, concise look at this without being partial whatsoever. So we went through and we quoted a whole bunch of a firm in Los Angeles who tried to sell us in. We had some interest when the meeting you and I attended with the CSDA management group, and we got them to quote, and then we also got Gray and Troy, who's our existing insurance agent, to go through this. And just to give everybody an insight, the state of California mandates how you pay, and we are classified at a 1.1, which is the highest. So basically, whatever the rate is, we pay 1.1 because of our classification. So for every dollar this district spends on insurance, the insurance company, because of these COBRA policies, is spending $200. And so until these people fall off COBRA, then we will not be entitled to get the lower rate. So that being said, so like if somebody says, oh, well, I could have got you a better deal, the reality is we've researched this backwards and forwards, and we just don't qualify, and the reason is because of the COBRA. The other thing is that all the plans are changing, and they could very well change again when the Supreme Court delivers their answer on the Obamacare. But we've analyzed all the plans, and we've come up with two that fit the employee the best, and what we would be instituting would be there would be the district would pay a policy amount, and currently we pay a little over $4,000 a month for all the employees. If we go to this new plan, we will be paying a little over $2,000, and then we will take the difference and give the employees what's called a FSA account, which is a flexible spending account, which will allow them to spend the money as they need it. So if they go to a doctor and there's a copay, they pay it. If they want $200 frame glasses instead of 180 frame that's covered on the insurance, this FSA picks that up. The beauty of this plan for us as well is that, and when I say us, the district, is that we will use a company that will manage the FSA, but we only have to fund it monthly. But the minute we sign up, they immediately fund the employee, and in this case, $2,000 on their FSA card. So we're spending the same amount for insurance with the premium, and then what goes to the employee on the FSA. But we only have to pay it as we go along. So every month, we'll be funding the management company with the money to cover their deal, but from day one, they've got $2,000 worth of coverage on their MasterCard debit card that's strictly used for that stuff. The other beauty of this is we have employees, some, you know, depending on difference in ages, some go to the doctor and some don't. And some don't have, you know, they're not using their FSA. And what happens is at the end of a two insurance plans that management is proposing for the employees.
Is there any
open to questions.
I'm sorry. Is there any board questions? I have one quick question. Have you reviewed this with the staff?
Yes, we've had some talk with the staff.
And what is the staff's response to the change in the plan?
Nobody's been negative about it. We did go, most people's concerns are prescription drugs, mm-hmm. and this was handed out to all the staff, and everybody's identified that their drugs are covered.
Okay.
They still can keep their same doctors. There's no other issues. Dental gets a little goofy because most people, once they have a dentist, they don't ever want to change. And so think about it this way. If you're a dentist and your waiting room is full and somebody comes in with a preferred network, is he going to want to give a discount? No, the guys who want the discounts are the guys who are trying to build their practice. Mm-hmm. So in the past, we have not really taken advantage of our dental discounts that we've had, but that's okay because this stuff is covered, and they still stay with the same dentist. And again, FSA card goes into the mix.
Great.
So any other questions?
That's the only question I have.
I'd just like to thank staff for doing due diligence on this insurance. I've had the opportunity to get some education here recently with the California Special Districts on risk management, and it looks like a very good plan. I mean, so thank you.
So the initial, the cost going into, well, it starts in April for the medical year because it's not tied to the fiscal year, but it starts April 1, but our budget will reflect it when we go for our budget review. And then the other thing is one of our employees is at the age where she becomes eligible for Medicare, and so she actually drops off our plan, but we're able to give her a Medicare supplement at a significantly reduced cost. And the only thing that could change it is, as you know, we have an ad out for a replacement position in the field, and depending on that person that we hire, that will get added to the census, but it shouldn't change it any more than we're already paying. So we're keeping our medical costs under control. It's a better deal for the employee, and it has the potential to bring back money to the district on a two-year cycle.
Great. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this, Tom?
Yeah.
We're investigating that because it was really kind of a bad plan for everybody but one.
Right.
So thank you.
Item 10D, discuss and review district sewer overflow and backup prevention and response training.
Well, you brought this to us, you brought this to staff, and then you brought it to the board for approval. I got an email today that said that our cost, or the cost that they'd like to recoup, would be $600, which is what I'd like you to approve. It's not the $2,450. And then Dan Silvera has been attending those meetings. And there's a pushback by the member agency saying, wait a minute, we know what you're trying to do here, but we already pay you, and we're going to participate in the training as well. So I'm asking you to approve it, but there's a good chance we're not going to need it. So, but I would like you to approve it.
All right.
So it'd be $615, which would be our share.
And out of which fund does this come, Tom?
What is what?
Which fund? Does this come out of
sewer? It would come out of sewer.
Sewer fund, okay. Is there any public comment on this?
None at this time.
Right. Is there any board comment?
At that, I'll make a motion to approve the $600 for staff's recommendation.
Which is?
To provide sewer overflow backup prevention and response training to the district staff and representatives of the three district member agencies in not to exceed the amount of $600 as described below. Cost shared equally and permissible by the district and each of the three member agencies.
I second.
Carolyn?
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yeah. Passes 5-0. Moving on to item 12E, discuss and review general manager participation in the Five Cities Fire Authority JPA labor negotiation. Tom, can you give us a background on how this came about?
We went into the JPA a year ago, and that's Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano combining fire departments. There is a labor contract with the firefighters that is now coming up for renewal, and it was strategized that the city manager for Roy Grandy and the city manager for Grover Beach and the general manager for that, and it still has to come before the JPA board too as to who the team's going to be, but I wanted to get a vote of confidence from this board that you were acceptable with me handling those negotiations.
Is there any public comment on this?
None.
Okay. I'll add that I was in early on when the discussions were had to
Talking
bring
Mike.
In. I'll add that I was in early on when the discussions were had to bring Tom and the city managers in to do the discussions. It's appropriate because it does create a, it doesn't put the chief in conflict. He's a new chief. He doesn't know the systems as well. He doesn't write the checks in the same way that the city managers do. And so for me, I support Tom taking another duty and responsibility and going forth and in the negotiation process with labor.
And then you would bring the deal back to the board,
mm-hmm.
and then we would vote on...
That deal would go to the JPA board, and it would go to our board as well.
And so do we know how long this contract will last? Because the JPA...
It's only going to go for a year.
Because the JPA was for five. We're three and a half into it.
No, we're three. This will be the entrance of the third year. Third year.
Okay, well, it officially went into effect then. Why are they only doing it for a year at a time?
Because the because there's a possibility that there would be concessions made this year that might not be made in future years. And they don't want to lock into a long-term contract. And there's some specific fears out there that are beyond everybody's control, namely PERS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, nobody locks into a union contract for any length of time.
Right.
But
they want the flexibility for a year.
And property taxes
right.
as well.
Now, can I need to share with you something else.
Do we need to vote on that?
Well, you need to vote, given me the deal, but I need to put this in out there as well. They want me to take the lead on the negotiation because I've been handling all the attacks in the press so well and figured that my name's been in the press so much that it would just be an easy, smooth transition for me to let it just keep going. So I was voted 2-1. Not to have the lead, so I thought I'd share that with you.
2-1, and you were the one?
I said no.
Carolyn?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right, passes 5-0. Congratulations, Tom.
We probably all go together and get him a hard hat.
Actually, they've offered me the use of a flak jacket, but that's just at this meeting. So,
just ask for a turnout coat.
Yeah, something like that.
Item 12F, discuss water recycling options. General manager to update on RWSP. Tom, again.
Okay, well, in your staff report is the Integrated Regional Water Plan, where it talks about the different recycled options. And there's been several studies done, and actually... I want to say, I can't believe it's probably in January, we had a meeting here with all the agencies, and it was kind of an extension of the Zone 3 TAC and an extension of the NCMA. Mm-hmm. And it became blatantly obvious to everybody that recycled water is going to come. Orange County uses primarily recycled water. The Sand District has done 4 or 5 studies on it. Napomo's done some studies. AG has done some studies. And what it's come down to is we've decided that in the NCMA that we would create a subcommittee to start looking at this pretty hard. But not only do we look at it hard, but it's become immediately clear that we need not only the public participation, but we also need to incorporate private participation. So there's talk about including developers in to bring in this coalition to bring it to the forefront, because farmers can pump water for free. Why would they pay to get recycled water? Though there are some fronts, there are some things being addressed with that. But the reality of it's going to be here, and we're going to need to address it. And we all envision in the future that there'll be two water lines going to your house. There'll be the water that you drink, and then there'll be the water for everything else. And so you have to incorporate your developers into that mix. And so we've already kind of kicked that off. And this came with the blessing also of Supervisor Teixeira and the other Board of Supervisors. And so this subcommittee will be going forward, and then I'll be able to report the ocean and everything else. Immediate alternatives are going to need to be there, and so that is moving forward. And so you guys wanted a deal of where we were. This integrated regional water plan highlights the saltwater, the recycled water in there, and that's what I gave you, and then I'll continue to report on the NCMA as we go along. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Tom, I just, maybe that you can, next time you're speaking at the staff with the sanitation district. A month or so ago, I did attend the sanitation district meeting, mm-hmm. and I requested that that older information on the work that was done on recycled water. As to date, I haven't received that.
Okay.
So I'd like to get that and kind of be able to refresh my memory on a lot of the work that's been done down there.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this, Tom?
You know, not. Yeah, actually, there is.
Can I ask that everybody really speak into their mics? We have a director that's off-site, and I know she cannot hear it because I can't hear it at the end of the table.
Julie Tacker. Okay.
Is that the only public comment, sir?
What, Matt?
Was that the only public comment?
At this time, yes.
Okay, thank you. I don't think there's any action to be taken on that. Moving on to item 12G, discuss and review number one, gate and fence repair. Why don't we take these one at a time?
That's fine. So, as you know, at our well yard, we have, for security reasons and all the other safety agencies, our well yards are all fenced off, and we have an automatic gate that has ceased to operate. It still operates manually, but it doesn't operate with the automatic openers. And we went out for quotes to Central Coast Fence and Fence Factory, and Central Coast came in cheaper, and I'm asking you to approve so we can get that fence repaired. Central Coast Fence carries the parts to fix the old one, so that's why it makes it cheaper.
And is that the first one for $2,214.60?
That's correct.
Is there any?
It's getting better, but we sent out for quotes and we only got two back.
All right. But you sent out to multiple sources.
Yes.
We only got two back. Okay.
We run into this all the time. Same thing with the ad. I mean, you'd think we'd be flooded with applications. I think we've got three. And that's it.
Is there any public comment on this item? Any board comment? As to item 12G.
Well, wait a minute. So it's to approve 12G, right?
12G1, yeah, gate and fence repair.
The gate and the fence repair, okay. And we did the advertising in the paper and did an RFP.
No, we didn't, because it's under $5,000.
Oh, okay.
This is essentially a repair.
Yeah, right.
It's not, you know.
That's why I can't, when these little repairs come on the agenda.
I get you, but you know,
I don't know why
you know
here.
What happens when we don't.
Yeah. But it's a repair.
Didn't we talk about this
it's
in the contract?
It's not a street light, it's a repair.
So can I get a motion?
I move that we accept the fence repair. Do you want the jack? Well, do we have to do them separately?
Yeah, we're doing them separately.
Okay.
And for the fence repair for $2,214.65. Is that the one for clarification?
Is that going to be enough for that jackhammer? Because I've been over.
We're not talking about the jackhammer.
We're at gate and fence repair.
Just the fence repair. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
I'll second.
Okay, Carol Ann.
Thank you.
Vice President Lucy.
Sure.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Motion passes for amount of $2,214.65. Moving on to item 12G2, Gas Jack Hammer.
All right, you're going to love this one.
How old is it first? Because I've seen it.
Okay, first of all, we have, normally we function with these, we have these air compressors. And you've all seen them. They go behind the truck, and you take it to the site, and you hook up your air compressor. And you guys all know how much I love the Air Pollution Control District. Well, ours is diesel, and there's a date that we can no longer use that. Plus, they assess us money every year to use it, and it's being phased out. So the boys want to go, and I checked into converting it from diesel to natural gas, and it was obviously the cheapest. It's the same equipment. It's just we want to just go with the least expensive.
Let me just tell you, that thing is hideous. It's embarrassing. It's a good thing we only use it 20 hours a year. Because if I was to see that archaic thing out on the streets, you know, I'd probably want to run over it or something, you know, just to get it out of the view of the public. So please, go get a new one, you guys. It's really bad.
From United Rentals is the one I'd like you to
purchase. United Rentals, okay. I'll make a motion to approve. Is there public comment? I'm sorry.
No, there's no public.
I'll make a motion to approve the purchase from United Rentals in the amount of $4,506.91.
Okay. Matt, can I make a friendly amendment?
Sure.
To that is that that the staff determine which vendor they want to go with, because sometimes you can do a little bit more research and find a used one and get, you know, a deluxe model that's got 10 miles on it versus our 50,000 mile thing.
I don't know if we can.
Can we do that?
Can we say
under
they
staff
have,
recommendation that they?
I don't know that we can do that.
Okay,
Chase,
fine. Name them. Whoever you guys want. That's fine.
I'd just like to maybe suggest something, and it doesn't have anything to do with the motions. Is that in my?
Well, there's
my
a motion on the floor. You got to speak to the motion. Speak for it or against it, or we withdraw it.
Do you need director comments? So I'll withdraw the motion if.
We can withdraw
I would
the
like
motion.
To have a little okay. bit of comment,
okay.
if I may.
I'll withdraw my motion. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. Thank you. I'll speak into the mic.
Thank you.
My experience on jackhammers, and I've been in the industry for a long time, is that when you go to a gas type of hammer and it's being well used, you end up with a lot of maintenance. And in my experience, the electric hammer is a lot less maintenance and just as well as a piece of equipment. And I think the industry is moving over into that, because you know, it's nothing like being out there at 7 o'clock in the morning and keep pulling and pulling and pulling and that thing won't start. So it just might be a suggestion for the supervisor to look into that. Okay. And it might save you a little bit of money in the long run on maintaining that piece of equipment. That's all I had. Thank you.
I'll restate the motion to approve the purchase of this gas-powered jackhammer from United Rentals in the amount of $4,506.91.
Second.
Carolyn?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
All right, passes 5-0. Enjoy your jackhammer. Moving on to item number 3, lead-free meter. Manager Gieselin.
Okay, as you know, we've, over the past year, we've replaced several meters, but we have a significant number of meters that we have to replace. And the state of California, along with the EPA, has come out with tighter water restrictions on what you can run through your water, run the water through. And so the boys have attended two different seminars on lead-free, and they came forward with this new meter. And instead of buying the meters that would be obsolete because of the new regulation, we want to go and purchase these new plastic ones by the company that's in the packet.
This is the one, the Aquametric
yeah,
company?
Yeah, the Aquametric.
Are these the only ones who sell this particular product?
They're the ones with the best price and the best quality of service. The guy comes out and gives a training seminar on everything, and goes forward. We used him also when we were buying other meters.
Because now we are over $5,000.
Yeah,
and,
now we are.
And so, again, the question is this a single bid?
We actually looked at other meters, but they were the ones that came forward with meeting the lead-free requirements the fastest. But I can take it back for rebid if you want.
Yeah, I think we need three bids because I think we're required to do that. So if we could put, I think we should continue this into, or put this on the April 11th. It's not like it's broken right now, so we'll put it on for April 11th, perhaps get three bids, or two more bids.
Okay.
Moving on to item 12H, discuss and review draft.
I'm actually surprised that they didn't get back to me, but they're still ticked because we took so long the last time.
Is there any public comment on this? I mean, I guess we don't have an item to review, but.
No.
Okay. Item 12I, discuss and review draft letter to Mayor Farrar requesting a seat on the Diversity Coalition. I recused myself, so I'll turn this over to Director Lisa.
We were approached by the city of Arroyo Grande to become part of their Diversity Coalition. I think that's the proper name of it, San Luis Obispo County Diversity Coalition. They were asking for our financial support. The board and staff thought it might be advisable, since diversity comes in many different forms, that they might consider letting one of Oceano's directors sit on their commission. So we drafted a letter. I can't remember the contribution.
$200.
It was $200, and that we asked that we be invited to the table to expand and to be more inclusive on their commission.
And you were given said letter?
Yes, we were given a draft. Draft, red ink. These are my edit jobs. And so I'll open it up to the floor for discussion if there's any public comment. Seeing none.
Yeah, there is none.
Okay, board discussion, no?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, does somebody want to make a motion? And then I just made a couple changes just to wordsmithing.
I think you need to read what you want to submit since you changed.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, since you changed the letter.
You want me to read my comments? Okay.
Well, you,
okay, in attachment, you will find Oceano's contribution to the South County Diversity Coalition. We are in agreement with this is intended a worthy endeavor that needs to be cleaned up, sorry guys, and wish to its continued success in getting the message out to the South County citizens. We would like, and this is my editing job, we would like to bring to your attention Oceano's Board of Directors is the most diverse composition in the entire county. This brought the question forward as to why and accept this proposal and contact our general manager, Mr. Tom Gieslin, social security number, with the related information to add to the Oceano board members. So does anybody else have anything they want to put in here in the spirit? I just think that it needs to be worded. It's a little bit finer tuned, but the concept is, the spirit is still there.
I'm good with it.
Well, you know, I can't. It's not really good for the chair to make a motion.
Also move to approve the letter as written or said, and have it typed up and sent.
Second.
Okay. Can we go on consensus on this one?
Okay, so we'll do a roll call vote.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes. And Mr. Matthew Guerra has abstained from
recused,
the vote for
recused.
Conflict of interest. Okay, all, so it passes. Can someone let the El Presidente back in?
Moving on to item 12J, discuss 2011-2012 OCSD fourth quarter work plans is what Tom alluded to earlier. What do we got?
What?
It's what you alluded to earlier.
Right. So, as you know, hanging on my wall, there's a plan to turn this place around, and in my estimation, that's about 90% finished. And we needed to draw a line in the sand to continue to bring the district up to where we want it to be. And so you have before you 20 items that staff is committing to complete in the fourth quarter. And I'll one of the key ones is the 2012-2013 budget preparation. That's one of the key things that we definitely need to do, because I want you to have a budget when I'll be bringing you two jobs that we definitely need to get done, and we're in the process of quoting them right now. We also need to, when we talked about the meters, we have to do some stuff with the water system itself. I'm not saying that it's in bad shape, but there's always room for improvement, and so we've got a plan that we need to put in place, and there's certain things that we continually need to upgrade. And a lot, God bless you.
Bless you, Lori.
And this is being driven also by a lot of the health and safety plans that are driven by the state and federal agencies that
right.
we have to go forward on. The same thing for the sewer. We have to prepare and implement a sewer system repair and upgrade plan. Same thing. And the two jobs I will be bringing you are sewer related. We clearly need to identify utility billing and accounting software alternative. And we've given the Tyler Information to Council to explore the ability to break the contract, and we're in the process of trying to find stuff that's going to work and work to our advantage. We're going to update the sewer system management plan, and this is being dictated by the state. And we're working in conjunction with our engineer on this. And it used to be you prepared the plan and turned it in. Now they want you to prepare the plan to a timeline and execute the timeline and turn it in. So Dan is working with that as we speak. Our last plan was accepted on 2010. We're now 2 years into it. And there's been mandated stuff that we have to change accordingly. This thing should probably be higher. It's just that we've taken one or two stabs at it, but I'm done with it. We got to get it done, and that's the update the OCSD policy and procedure manual. As you know, the stuff that we have is quite old, and a lot of it doesn't apply, and it all needs to be modified. And District Council has said that she will have a working manual back to us by April 20th, at which time we will go through the vetting of her ideas and go through all the stuff. And when you sign in for the next fiscal year, you'll have a approved policies and procedures plan. As you know, and I mentioned early, a lot of our equipment is at different stages of its life cycle, and Aaron Hughes has volunteered to start that, and he's going through and auditing all our equipment, everything from things like handheld tools all the way through to our big trucks, our well motors, everything else. So we're putting all that together, and we will basically look at repair versus replace, and you'll be getting that presentation to the board. We are obligated to prepare an annual water quality report. In the past, just taken the year before and made a couple subtle changes to it. There's new mandates coming out that you have to upgrade that a little bit, so we'll be incorporating those new mandates. Assist the habitat conservation plan with Slo County. This is actually something that's come out of Zone 3, and we're working with the county because AG Creek and the lagoon and the area by the flap gates, that all is falling under. In order for us to get permits to do stuff, we have to have this plan, and Dan is going to sit on that review committee with them. And that's a long, drawn-out process, but it is something that we do have to address. We have OCSD collection procedures, and we went through an exercise at the last board meeting that showed we were dealing with something that was put in place or modified last in 2007, and we've identified areas that it could be clearly addressed in a much user-friendly way, and it also clearly spells out, because times have changed with foreclosures and we have hardcore procedures now, that we're going to put in place so we can go collect money. And staff needs to be complimented, because they keep picking off the dead file, and the dead file are the people that move or get foreclosed on, and the money goes into uncollectible status. And over the last month alone, they've brought in over $2,500 off the dead files by either going to title companies, real estate people, or finding where the people went and chasing them down. And that's all on their regular scheduled process. But we don't, because times have changed, we need to formalize the procedures. The California Sanitary Risk Management Training, even though the sanitation district is looking for money for that, all our guys will participate in that, because we want them equally trained, and we're not just doing this on our own. AG and Grover Beach are also participating in that. And it's the whole deal is, the more certifications we have ensures the commitment that we have to the people in Oceano, that our kids, that our guys will be the best trained and be able to handle any situation. And they won't be forced to stand on the sideline because they don't have the sticker.
And also it saves in calling out expensive engineers.
That's
because
correct.
Because we have, you know, skill sets on site.
The other thing that all our staff will do is they're going to complete first responder training. If you remember, we have that FEMA mitigation thing that we're working on with the fire department. And, for example, during the Oceano flooding, when you had people that were trying to get out, our guys weren't first responders certified, so they had to stand with the truck and control traffic, but they couldn't go help somebody. Everybody in this office will be first responder trained and be able to go help out. And what that's going to cover is first aid, CPR, and the proper use of an AED, which if somebody's having a heart attack, they can go do that. Review and approve the Zone 3 TAC annual report. I got a draft copy a week ago. It changed. And I got another copy yesterday, and I haven't had the chance to go through it, but that's a critical item because that's the quoted document that everybody uses. I have to perform a complete budget review of the 2012-2013 JPA. We'll do that similar to what we did on the Zone 3. Complete the JPA labor negotiations. We talked about that earlier. Number 19 is upgrade office. If you look around, our carpet is pretty tattered. Our things are in somewhat disarray. Chairs are breaking in the offices. The field guys are using old computers. And more importantly, we're killing thousands of trees every time we do one of these reports. And so we're looking at doing similar to what you guys did with what the Board of Supervisors did, where the district issues you iPad or tablet, and you get all your stuff there, and you can just click through it like you click through on your phone. So we're trying to make that happen. And then finally, and this is a really big thing, and we've already taken a very good first stab at it, but it's just time-consuming, is we're doing the complete water sewer audit and updating all the accounts. And so when that happens, everybody in the office and in the field is going through that, because it requires them to go check it, note all the anomalies, and then we have a discussion, okay, what, Was this old news? Was it new news? How do we make it work? Is there some code enforcement violations? And then the staff sits down and they make the changes to the deal. So the goal is that when we enter the first day of our new fiscal year, all our accounts will be in perfect shape. And so that's the plan that I have for the fourth quarter.
Is there any public comment?
Yeah, we do. Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker?
Not to intentionally add to your workload, but your bylaws require that you evaluate your engineer and attorney services in May and June, and
we can't hear you.
I'm sorry. So I would assume that that's part of your plan.
Well, it is, except that I don't hire the attorney or the engineer. That's up to the discretion of the board.
Right, but you would either put out a request for proposal or seek new consultants for their review. When the other thing that I know is coming is the roof. Mr. Gieslin, you told me you wanted to maybe replace it in the next fiscal year. It would be good to get plans and specs now, get that out for RFP, and then be able to address that expenditure in your next fiscal year. But it seems like you should put that in the lineup for the end of this year. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Tagger. Is there any other public comment?
Yeah. I just wanted to say is that the Personnel Committee handles the evaluations for all contractors who work for the board, and so we handle the scheduling of when the engineer and other consultants are evaluated, and it is on the personnel agenda.
Is there any other board comment? I don't think there's any action to be taken. Moving on to item 12K.
Thank you, Tom.
Did you go back for the minutes?
No, we haven't done the minutes yet. We have not done the minutes. And Director Searcy, you said you might have to leave?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good for right now.
Okay. 12K, discussion and possible action to amend employment contract for general manager. Chase?
Yes, thank you. I'm here for Molly Thurmond. And we are recommending some amendments to Mr. Gieslin's contract that was entered into some weeks ago. A little story on how these amendments came about. The first is an amendment to the severance package that was contained in the original contract. While Ms. Thurmond was doing a research project on an unrelated item, she came across a government code section. And that government code section is 53260. That code section was enacted, it became active in January of 2012. It was right around the time that we were negotiating with Mr. Gieslin. We were in the throes of trying to get his contract hammered out. This provision of the government code did not come up on our radar screen. So we've seen it now, though, and what it does is it kind of sets the limits of a severance package for a public employee like Mr. Gieslin. And when we measured that statute against the contract that we had entered into previously, we found that we needed to amend one small aspect of it. And that aspect was that in the final 6 months of Mr. Gieslin's term, our prior contract, or the contract that is currently in effect, allows Mr. Gieslin to collect a severance package of 6 months regardless of when he is terminated without cause. And why that's important is that the new code section doesn't permit that. You have to, where we fall afoul of the new law is that under no circumstances can a public employee get more than what's remaining on their contract on a monthly basis. So, for example, if Mr. Gieselin was terminated without cause with 3 months left on his contract, the maximum amount he could receive is 3 months. He couldn't receive 6 months. Okay. And so for that reason, we're recommending an amendment to that portion of the contract. And I probably should have asked you all first if you have our proposed first amended contract. I think that you all do, but I have copies here for you if you don't.
Now, when do you want us to ask questions on that? Now?
We can do it one at a time.
Okay, because does it say to be reviewed January 2013, that section of the compensation? I'm sorry, can you hear me, Lori? Matt.
I don't think she can. Lori, are you able to hear Mary?
Yeah, I was reading. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So on the compensation, we have to adjust that to be 12 months to stay within the law that I understand. It wasn't it to be that the contract as in on the compensation component was to be reviewed January of 2013?
Can you direct me to the section that you're looking at?
I think it's 10A2.
Thank you.
Page 6.
Page, yeah. Sorry, I didn't bring my marked up copy.
That's okay.
Okay.
Correct. Exactly. And, you know, in the first 12 months of employment, which this part doesn't really change, by the way, from our old contract, or from the one that currently is in place to the proposed amended contract, these provisions don't change.
Okay, great. Okay, so they have it down to February 28th, which is fine.
Correct.
I just wanted it to begin at the beginning of the year. And then also, too, is that there were some things in here that Mr. Gieselin had waived that he did not want. And so would we keep those in the contract just because or, you know, For example, you know, I think it was about cell phone reimbursement or something. Tom said he wasn't interested or something like that.
And health insurance.
Yeah, and health insurance, which that's a big deal because that's a lot of money. So would we continue to keep those obsolete things, even though the director has said, I'm not interested in that kind of reimbursement? Would we keep them in the contract or should we remove them from the contract?
Chase, you weren't here last time, but we discussed that, and it was my position that if he doesn't bill them and take those benefits, they are still in the contract in case later he decided to, because his, you know, he gets insurance or his wife, her position or may change, and so I, you know, it's the intent of the district to leave that in there. But I think maybe Mary Lucy's concern is that it created a liability that if, you know, 4 years down the road, you know, suddenly we get a bill from our general manager for thousands of dollars because of benefits not taken. Is that am I stating that correctly?
Well, that could be one thing, but also too is that if somebody was to read it, they wouldn't know what benefits were accepted and which ones were not, which ones were waived. So, I mean, by reading this, you wouldn't know that Mr. Gieselin said, "No, I don't want. I'm waiving $12,000 worth of health insurance." You know,
well, and yeah, it's true, but at the same
time, there's no way I can tell that he waived $12,000 to health insurance, which would be a big gold star in my eye.
It's true, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, if you were to include those provisions in the contract and then say that Mr. Gieselin waived them in the same contract, it would kind of be self-defeating. The contract would be at odds with itself. So I would probably tend to follow what I'm assuming Ms. Thurmond was here for that and maybe recommended that those provisions do stay in the contract,
okay.
Despite the fact that Mr. Gieselin is not taking his rights to use those services.
Okay.
The provision that I was talking about earlier it was Section 11, which is termination and severance pay.
Right, it's 11C.
It went from 6 to 3, right?
Is correct.
What you're saying. Okay.
Well, and if you look under item C, this is the section that is being changed. And what it used to do, and I'll read you the old provision as well.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. There's some...
Sure. If you go about halfway down in the old contract said if the general manager is terminated without cause after June 30th, 2013, the severance pay will be equal to 6 months' base salary then in effect. And that leaves it open to terminate his contract without cause in the last 6 months of his employment. So in other words, that was the problem, as we saw it, was that in the last 6 months, even though he didn't have 6 months to go in his contract, he would still be entitled to 6 months of severance pay, which was problematic with the new code section. So the amended contract now reads that the general manager would be paid a lump sum settlement, a severance pay equal to 12 months base salary then in effect. If the general manager is terminated without cause after June 30th, 2013, and now you can see that Ms. Thurman has included certain dates, some benchmarks in the termination severance pay portion of the contract so that we wouldn't get into trouble and run foul of the new code section that came out. But if he was terminated prior to September 30th, 2016, the severance pay will be equal to 6 months base salary then in effect. If the general manager is terminated without cause after September 30th, 2016, the severance pay will be an amount equal to his monthly salary multiplied by the number of months left on the unexpired term of the contract. And that's where we say, you know, if he's, you know, it has to be, that's the language that complies with the new law, is that it has to be the unexpired term. So, and it can't be greater than that. And the actual code section says it can't be greater than 18 months. Right. Mr. Gieselin's termination severance package is a maximum of 1 year. So council's recommending that the board approve the amendment, at least as well, at least so far. We're going to discuss a couple others too, but insofar as it pertains to Section 11 of the termination and severance pay.
Okay. Why don't you go on to the next recommendation then, Chase?
Okay. Unless there are other questions, Director Lucy? No?
Any other questions? Are there any other questions on this matter, Mary? Okay. Thelma?
No.
Okay. Mr. Martin?
The next two items that are being proposed as amendments by council are related to one another. They are Section 4 and Section 5. Section 4 is the term of the contract. Section 5 is the salary itself. And also a little history on our recommendations as they pertain to these proposed amendments as well. Our office received a letter from Ms. Tacker contesting a number of items that were addressed at the last meeting, but a few, particularly speaking to the retroactivity portion of Mr. Gieselin's contract. Ms. Thurman and I looked at this issue thoroughly and have determined that if a lawsuit were ever filed in the future, we would be able to defend it. And we are under no obligation to amend the contract as it is. However, having said that, and knowing now a little bit more of what we know of Ms. Tacker and Mr. Edwards, from my perspective, it does not appear to me that this board is going to get a fair shake from them. They are going to probably find fault with anything that we do, regardless of how good it is, regardless of the quality. They seem to kind of have ignored a number of, well, everything good that this board has done, and have exalted form over substance. And so from our perspective, anyone from the public could bring a lawsuit. But we are recommending an amendment to Mr. Gieselin's salary provision as a means to sort of play Aikido. Sometimes it's appropriate to meet force with force. Sometimes it's appropriate to to change our tack such that we make a stronger position for ourselves. And so Ms. Thurman has come up with a really, I think, a good idea regarding Mr. Gieselin's salary. What she is proposing is that the term of Mr. Gieseland's salary would take effect on April 1st, 2012. As you know, we've agreed to pay Mr. Gieseland a salary of $126,000. As such, Section 4, the term, as I said, would be amended to reflect April 1st as the start date. The next Section 5 would contain an additional provision for Mr. Gieseland's salary. Essentially, what we would do is we would prorate a salary such that Mr. Gieseland would make $126,000 in this year starting from April 1st, 2012, instead of starting from January 1st, 2012. Then, in January 1st, 2013, Mr. Gieseland would go back to $126,000 a year. So, if you'll permit me, I'll kind of show you how the calculation would work out on the whiteboard.
And you can verbally talk through it because we do.
Can you speak into the mic?
What I think what I'm going to try to do is use this mic and bring the board over. And, you know, I'll do my calculation, then come back and explain it as I'm going, if that's okay.
Sure, Chase, go ahead.
As long as you talk of the donut.
So far this year in 2012, Mr. Gieseland has made $23,100. And that's at his old salary rate of $7,700.
$7,750.
His new salary is $126,000. If that were to start and over the course of a year, that is $10,500 per month. Now, what Ms. Thurman did here was she, if we start this contract on April 1st, 2012, and we give Mr. Gieseland $10,500 per month, that would lead to a salary of $94,500, which would bring him up short.
But that's 9 months, correct?
Yes.
So also on the same lines, he'd make $94,000, but if we were to do that, he would also miss out on some PERS contributions. And those PERS contributions come in at $5,005. $5,505.
PERS being towards his benefits and retirements as such, correct?
Correct.
Well, not everybody knows what PERS means. So that'd be $5,500 in the first quarter?
So actually what happens is the difference in his salary would be a total of $13,908 because you take the missed PERS and the amount that he would be missing out on from the first 3 months of this year. And so, and that, again, we're pretending as if we're starting this contract from April 1st. Yeah. So for 9 months, he's missing out on 3 months of salary and some PERS money, and the two of those together are combined to equal $13,908. Okay, so now this is sorry for the going back and forth, but what Ms. Thurman has done with that number, the missed out number, what she's done is she's now divided that number by the same 9 months. So we've now established that the 13,908 is what Tom would be missing if the contract was started on April 1st. And if you divide 13,908 by 9, you wind up with $1,545 a month.
For how many months?
Nine
months?
For 9 months.
Okay.
I think that microphone comes out of that stand. You could hold it if you wanted. The whole thing. Just pull it out of that stand.
I'd have to grow a third hand, maybe, to hold it, you know. So this is where you add, now we get back on track with him. So we now, if he'd be missing this $1,545 over the course of, if the contract started on April 1st, 2012. Now, if you add this number plus the 13,000 number, 908, the $10,500. So his ordinary salary plus the amount he would have missed over the last 3 months, you come up with $12,000 and $12,045. So if you take the $12,045 per month and you take that out over the course of 1 year, that would lead to a salary of $144,540. So what Ms. Thurman is recommending to me, too, is that if for the period beginning April 1st, 2012, we raise Mr. Giesland's salary to $144,540, at the end of the year, he would actually make the exact contract amount that we entered into with him. He would make $126,000 plus his PERS benefits. In total, the calculation would look something like this. It would look like $12,045 times 9, because he's only going to get it for 9 months, which leads to $108,405. Plus, you add in the benefits that he missed from the first 3 months, and you wind up with kind of a clean calculation. It's essentially a wash. And the reason that we're recommending this is because there is some concern. Like I said before, we could defend this if we had to, but the Aikido type of strong position is to take care of this contract this way. That way, it removes any retroactivity argument that might be presented by Ms. Tacker or Ms. Edwards or Mr. Edwards or anyone, really. Because the contract now starts from April 1st, but it's still for the original contract amount. So anyway, that's kind of how it all pencils out.
Are there any board questions for Chase Martin?
No, I think you've done a really good job at explaining it. Well, people have made it complicated. You know, it's a sad day when you can't, you know, move through and get leadership put in place. I mean, I'm sorry that we had to spend so much on legal to have to, you know, keep working to do the right thing, you know. So I actually thought it was, you know, good. But I was concerned about how to explain it where people would comprehend it, you know, because I'm pretty shallow.
Director Hurdle, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. I understand the proration, and it makes great sense to me.
Director Searcy?
No. So you're actually recommending Section 11, amendment to Section 11, and Section 4 and 5?
No.
Yes, that's what he's recommending.
That's correct.
The
Section 11 amendment pertains to the severance package,
right.
Which I addressed was the concern regarding the new government code section.
Right.
The other amendments would be to Section 4 and 5, which are the term of the contract and the salary. And the amended contract would, I mean, I'll read it to you.
No, it's okay. But just one question.
Sure.
And you have discussed this with Tom?
Yes, we've discussed it.
And he's in agreement?
Well, I was going to ask Tom next for his comments.
Well, I got this morning, and I reviewed it, and Chase walked me through the calculation because I wanted everybody to understand that even though it says a higher dollar amount, the most I'm taking out is 126, which is per the deal. I'm not taking the benefits for the cell phone or the medical. The only thing I've asked for is the mileage reimbursement, but I haven't had a chance to run this by my attorney. But everything that I see, and I understand the reasoning, because we were all wrapped up into it last week when the letter came out. So I get it, but I would like to, before I ink anything, or if you decide to do this, before I ink it, I would like to run it by my attorney.
And would that be appropriate, counsel, then, if we went ahead and approved this and then had him run that past his counsel prior to acceptance?
That's fine. The board, if the board chooses to approve it, they can, but that doesn't mean that Mr. Gieselin has to sign it. He
right.
can still run it past his own attorney.
Yeah.
All right, Tom may not sign it. Of course, the issue here is the questionable analysis in the Tacker letter and the questionable motives behind it as well. So
I do think it is a questionable, it's very questionable. And as I said, we've looked at it. We could defend this case if it were ever brought. However, using district funds, as has been mentioned several times over the course of the evening, for frivolous litigation doesn't seem to be a wise use of money. We would be recommending an amendment to this contract anyway because of the government code section. Because of that, the contract needs to be amended anyway.
Right.
And so while we're doing that process, I actually think it's a wise use of the district's funds to go ahead and do this salary amendment now because it just makes sense. You could save more money in the long run.
Cleans it up.
Yep.
Well, I guess there's actually three. There's three amendments. There's Section 4, Section 5, and Section 11.
Correct.
That are being amended. Is there any public comment, Tom?
Yeah, let's hear from the public.
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. The item before you is discussion and possible action to amend employee contract for general manager.
Can you speak into the mic, please?
There's no staff report. There's no access to the contract prior to coming to this meeting. There's no access to the other contract that was approved on March 14th unless you asked for it through the Public Records Act. It's about sunshine for the public. You're rolling your eyes, Miss Lucy. These are your very words. This formula should be looked at, should have been in the staff report so that you had the time to go over it, so that your public has the time to go over it. I would just simply ask that you delay any action until the public has the time to look at both contracts and see what the amendments add up to and mean to the district. Thank you.
Can I get a point of clarification, Ms. Tacker, on your motives?
My motives?
Can you speak up, Mr. Yes. Guerrero?
Excuse me?
Yeah. Can I get a point of clarification on your motives?
I want you to do things right so that your public has the access to their board, to their dollars. Apparently, Mr. Gieselin sets the agendas, And if they come out incorrect or ambiguous, that's where it leads to the confusion. So my motives, I simply want you to do things right. And if he's going to get paid a big fat salary, he better do it right.
Oh,
so I have this email from
Mr. Guerrero, first of all, I have to say is I don't have the letter that everybody else was supposedly given, so I just have to go on what directors are telling me at this point. But Mr. Guerrero, can we make sure we have clear transparency?
Yes.
Because I wonder the intent as well.
You have an email?
Ms. Tacker, I have an email from you dated January 28th.
Speak real loud.
Which you're referring to our earlier meeting in January, and there's some pertinent parts that make me wonder. It says, while Tom appears to have brought your ship around, so to speak, there's much more to do. I don't think he has a clue as to how government works. I guess I know too much. Sure, I'm interested in Tom's job. While I do not carry a college degree, I have a degree of common sense and a whole lot of experience. I worked very closely with the best CSD GM there ever was, Bruce Buell, who went on to work for Napomo and died 2 years ago from cancer he likely got from his work in Los Osos and with me. I was a pain in the ass board member, but that's how I learned all I know and continue to learn more.
So my motive?
Yes.
Do you think you're interested in it ever in hiring me? No. And when Mr. Edwards and I put forth a proposal to your district, we asked for strict confidentiality, and we didn't get it. But since we didn't get it, I'm happy to share with your public that Mr. Edwards and I, as a consulting firm, offered our services for the very low price of $60,000 to turn your ship around, and we would be gone by December 2012. Our intention was to help your community. You weren't interested, that's fine, but I want your community to be helped. And Mr. Geislin is not following board direction. He doesn't follow the Brown Act, the Freedom of Information Act. He continues to drive your ship down the wrong path. So.
But Ms. Stackard, you have monetarily gained from you and Mr. Edwards' constant attacks.
Please tell me how.
You were paid $1,200 for a letter, an article assessing the water situation in Oceano that was posted on the website, that was done without board approval. That check was written for $1,200 to Mr. Jeff Edwards during the time Carol Henson and Jim Henson and Jim Hill were running this board. So you have monetarily gained. You've gained in many ways that we probably don't even know. You know, but I had to dig very deep to find out how much you had gained.
All right, Mary, let's get back on track.
Right. I'd like to ask the board to try to refrain from responding to any public comment.
Yep. Let's. We have an item for action or possible action.
Is there another public comment?
Yes, there is. Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Edwards. Let's be clear why we're discussing this matter the way we are right now. Ms. Thurman gave you bad legal advice on March 14th, and this evening you're getting more bad legal advice from Mr. Martin. The same identical thing is happening tonight that happened on the 14th. Contracts are put up at the front table. The public hasn't seen it at all. And yet this board, a majority of this board, it appears, had already seen that agreement. That is the original contract last time and the amendment this time. You can't do that. You can't act on something the public hasn't seen and you have an advance copy of. You can't do that. And that's as simple as that. If this first amended contract would have been posted on your website last Friday, this would be moot. But you didn't do it. Mr. Geislin didn't do it. You know, there's discussion of the severance package and how you wanted to hold the next board hostage. You know, the next board is going to be elected by the people of this community. You may or may not be on it, but it's the people that are putting members in your seats. So when you talk about holding the next board hostage, you're holding the community hostage. So clearly, the severance package, there was a problem, and it's been corrected. Now, the manner in which the retroactive pay has been handled, it's a fiction. This contract's been altered to skirt the intent of the law. If Mr. Geislin would have had a written contract leading as an IGM, you wouldn't have this problem either, because you can negotiate and get retroactive pay if you have a contract, but he never had one. So, you know, to get this kind of legal advice that you're going to just bury the retroactive pay in the contract, that's absurd. It's reckless on the part of this board, and again, it's very bad legal advice. If you look elsewhere in the contract, there are other changes. I believe they're new, but they might not be. And Mr. Geislin, he can be considered for a raise without any contract amendment. That's in 5C on page 4. And absolutely, if there are benefits that are not included in the contract, you should take them out. If he's not getting cell phone reimbursement or health coverage, take them out. Get the mystery out of this. So, this contract, you can't act on it tonight. You're going to have to bring it back. Instead of having an amended contract, why don't you fold it all into one contract and bring it back for the public to look at and for your board to take action on? That would be clean. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Rod Everly.
Rod.
Hi, Rod Everly from Napomo. I just wanted to comment on a couple of the comments that were just made. As far as holding the board hostage, I don't believe that was what the intent was. We were talking about one particular thing, and that was a vengeful firing for no reason, where the general manager has done nothing wrong. And the intent of that was to make the board think about it, make them consider what they were doing. It was to create a penalty for the board just to act vengefully. That's all we're talking about. And as your counsel told you at the time, you could probably fire him for breathing. I mean, the way the legal situation is. So yeah, there should be a huge deterrent for you guys just to fire someone for no reason whatsoever. Because while Jeff may love to do that, I don't think it's a fair thing to do. And as far as whether you're skirting the issue, I think what you came up with the salary, I think it's a brilliant idea. And I think it's really, really nice, because it basically sticks it right in Edward's face. It's like saying, you want to dance, let's dance. Except you did it legally. My way of doing it would have been, I would have liked even more. I'd have said, yeah, let's start at 126 and we'll give you a signing bonus, like the pro ball players do. But your way is a good way of doing it. And if his way, if retroactive is a hassle, I agree with what you say. Why butt heads and waste more money because this guy wants to cost you money? So I think it's a great idea. And you must remember that this dance that you're doing, you didn't turn the music on, you didn't start the dance, he did. So if he would have just sat here and kept his mouth shut, then we wouldn't have these problems that you're having now. The last thing I would ask is, if he's right, if this has to be out, 72 hours or something like that, he said, if it has to be posted, if that's correct, then I agree with you. You guys have to do that. That's something you need to look into, if he's right. I don't know. I don't know what the law is. But, that is something you're going to have to see. If he's correct, you're going to have to bring it back, I would guess, for the next one, as much as I hate to see you waste more time on it. But, just to cover your rears and cover more of this baloney. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod.
And President, I know that all of us agree that we actually want to do it legally, mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of right. One person's opinion of right.
Well, I was going to actually ask Chase the same question, because my understanding is that it's on the agenda, that when the documents become available, you make them available. But I wanted to check with Chase.
Yeah, that's correct. When the documents are available, then they are available to the public as well. The actual code section is Government Code 54957.5. And it's that the documents shall be made available for public inspection at the time the writing is distributed to all or a majority of all the board members. This document was not distributed to a majority of the board members.
No.
It's appropriate to be aired out to the public now.
I think I was the only one that got it. So.
Mr. President, I'd just like to say, you know, we do have the public here of Oceano, and I think they're well informed. I can see out in the audience that we have some citizens here that, you know, I don't see them jumping up and down protesting. And the other issue is I don't think that the board should be buffaloed into some hoo-ha. We were here to make decisions. And with the information that is provided to us, either by council or if it's, you know, it's well explained, we can go ahead and make those decisions. It doesn't, we don't have to have a notepad and you know, when it becomes available, we can give it to the public. But, you know, this is the business at hand, and that's why we come down here, and we, you know, we put our best foot forward is to make these kind of decisions. And if there's no other further public comment, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion tonight.
I just want to make a board comment, and again, I'm just echoing what I said earlier about, you know, questionable analysis, questionable motives. And, you know, my thinking is that we leave the Section 4 and 5 alone.
We leave Section 4 and 5 alone, and that we only approve Section 11. I understand the board is probably going to accept 4 and 5, but I just don't want to be dancing other people's tunes. So,
you know, I'm really perplexed because the accusation of being the severance pay, holding someone hostage, and that type of accusation, yes, but I think that a threat of a lawsuit is just as appalling, holding someone hostage as well. I mean, you cannot have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways. And that really just, it just really invalidates what you're attempting to do.
Thank you so much for saying that. I am so sick of people living off society in lawsuits. You know, I understand the job market's bad and everything, but that doesn't mean you go out and just sue everybody because they didn't put a period down or cross their T's. At some point, it has to stop.
Rick, you're about to make a motion.
I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to approve the amendment on Section 11, and we'll bring back the Section 4 and 5 at the next meeting.
Why do you want to bring, we can't bring those back.
You can't bring them back.
Because they'd be effective April 1st.
Because they're
time sensitive. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Okay, well then I'll change my motion to approve.
Well, hold on. I mean, if you are not comfortable with approving that, we can do the same retroactivity later too. I think that calculation can work, you know, as you go along in the year. If you are not feeling like you want to do it, then you shouldn't do it. Like we've said, we can defend this case if it were ever brought. We're recommending the action that we recommended because we think it's the most economical approach.
Okay. That being said, I'll amend my motion to approve Section 11, Section 4 and 5 that was presented to us by the council, and then have that available to the public
when it's signed.
When it's signed.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a first and a second. Carol Ann.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
No.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Item passes 4-1. I will, let me see. What do you recommend, Chase? So this is a draft contract. There were no changes to it. Do you want to print one up tomorrow? I'll come by your office and pick it up, and then I can deliver it to Tom for his review and signature if he decides to.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Is that okay, Tom, and I'll bring it for your review?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I was reviewing the agenda here, and on my work plans, I needed a vote to approve those plans.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah.
I thought it was just, okay, we're going back to item J. That was the fourth quarter work plans. Can I get a motion on that to approve the work plans? Actually, I'll make the motion. I'll make a motion to approve the General Manager Gieselin's Oceano Community Services District 2011-2012 fourth quarter work plans as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Carol Ann?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelou?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
That passes 5-0. Moving on to item number 13, closed session, attorney-client privilege, re-pending litigation, government code section 54956.9.
Can we public comment?
Can we do a five-minute break after public comment before we go into close, because I need to use the facility.
Yeah, we can do that.
When it's ready.
Actually, the contract's not.
It's not ready.
You pass them out to the public, and there's no more, so I would like to.
Isn't it right there?
No. Closed session is authorized due to a statement threatening litigation that was made by a person on a specific matter within the responsibility of the legislative body. Is there public comment on
this? Yes, there is. Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker? She passes. Is there any other public comment, Tom?
No.
All right. We'll go into closed session at this time.
Can I ask 15
public comment. I see the public has left. Item number 15, board member discussion. Lori, why don't we start with you? Anything you'd like to discuss this evening?
No, I think everything's been covered.
All right. Well, and just so you know, we're all sending you our thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
Yes.
Say hi to Dave.
Director Searcy, do you have any board member discussion?
I have none.
Okay. Director Hurdle?
None, thank you.
All right. Director Lucy?
Oh, I think I've said enough tonight.
Thank you.
You know, my only board member discussion is the OCSD sets its own agenda. We have our own program that we're running here, and we have the interest of the people of Oceano at heart, and that's why we're here. That's why we have five people that are basically volunteers, volunteering their time, trying to do the right thing for the right reasons. And we know that our constituents who have been here, everyone that we've talked to who actually lives in our community has been very positive, and we thank each and every one of you for that.
Yes.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Lori. Item number 16, yes. Board member items for next board meeting agenda. I think we were going to change the water and sewer to this Friday. Can you still do Friday at 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. Friday at 9 o'clock, I'd like to announce there will be a water and sewer meeting. It will not be set for April 6th, and the idea is that possibly we can have those will serve letters from item 8, the utility items brought in on the 11th. No promises. But that'll be 9 o'clock here at the district. Rick and I will be there. Any other board member items for the next meeting?
Yeah, I'd like to see if we can get on the agenda the review of the board's policies and procedures for board members' seminars and travel, et cetera.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Director Lucy?
No.
I can't think of anything either. If I do, Tom, you'll be hearing from me.
I just wanted to point out that I will be out of town next week.
Okay.
So.
Going somewhere good?
I'm going to see a really good friend. I'm going back to Alabama with Linda, and we're going to go back and see Lori and do a little antique shopping and give Dave the big high five and eat a lot of Southern food if we can.
Awesome. Well, I hope it goes well. I hope it's an excellent visit for all of you.
Yeah.
Number 17, written communication.
Day period. And there was just a couple typos. That's all that can be discussed. So I move that we accept the meeting minutes from March 14th.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Director Angelo seconds.
Okay. Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Good night, everybody.
Talk to you tomorrow, Lori.